entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence. It's the Business Builders Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. I am your business coach, Marty Wolf, and your host for the Business Builders Show. Joining me in the studio is my sidekick, Carrie Kearney. Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Marty. Hello, Tom.
And, of course, we just said hello from Tom. Mr. Tom Jenkins, our producer, is here. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Great to have you guys here. And another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments at the end of the show. You'll definitely want to stay to the end and hear Dr. Tony Massari's comments. Our special guest today is Joe Calloway. Joe is the author of several books. However, we are going to focus on his latest work titled, you gotta love this title, Be the Best at What Matters Most, The Only Strategy You Will Ever Need. You're going to love not only the lessons that Joe is going to teach us, but you're going to love how he teaches us. What a great storyteller. You're going to love how he teaches us. You know, you're going to want to buy Joe's book immediately, but don't leave us. Don't just, unless you have a way to kind of search and listen to the show, but don't leave us immediately. However, I do have a special opportunity for you to win. Win is always a good word, right, Tom?
That and free.
I'm adding that, too. You can win a free autographed copy of Joe's book. And to win, here's what you need to do. You're going to need to work a little bit. Here's what you need to do. You need to send me an email. My email is a long one, but simple. Here's my email. It's Marty at MartyWolfBusinessSolutions.com. Wolf is spelled with two F's, and it's a long business solution. So Marty at MartyWolfBusinessSolutions.com. To win the free book, send me an email. Put in the subject line Joe Calloway, and Joe's last name is spelled C-A-L-L-O-W-A-Y. Joe Calloway, put that in the subject area. Then tell me what you like the best about Joe's interview. So, pretty simple. Listen carefully to Joe's interview. Write down some things. Jot down some notes. Write down my email and Marty at MartyWolfBusinessSolutions.com. And let me know. And when you win, if you win, I'll let you know. And we'll have Joe send you a free autographed copy of his book. Carrie, you want to add something?
I just wanted to say, in finishing Joe's book, It's very unique when you can get something off the shelf that you're thinking is more of just a straight read that has a playbook or the questions and the structure. He explains it fantastically and then breaks it out in a couple pages for you to digest in small chunks, right, and go right to your team or your office, manufacturing facility, whatever, and implement and start putting those seeds in. Joe did a great job with this book.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah, it is a great book. And again, to get it, a free copy, you need to email me at Marty@MartyWolfBusinessSolutions.com. Put in the subject Joe Calloway. Tell me what you really liked about the interview. Today, we'll also be reminding you about a business seminar our friends at Express Employment Professionals is having on July 10th. And I will continue my discussion on the art and science of persuasion. And there's more. We will review two blog posts on leadership from Joe Calloway, a great blog post that I saw from Joe, and our friend Mark Sanborn. So, Tom, I think we have the show set up pretty good. Let's go to Joe Calloway. Welcome to the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf, and our special guest today is Joe Calloway. I always like to start off by just saying hi, Joe.
Hey, Marty. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. I'm so thrilled that you're with us. Allow me to introduce Joe. Joe Calloway is a leading performance expert who helps great companies get even better. He helps organizations focus on what is truly important, inspires constant improvement, and motivates people to immediate action. Joe has been a business author, coach, and speaker for 30 years, and his client list reads like an international who's who in business. ranging from companies like Coca-Cola, IBM, Saks Fifth Avenue, and American Express. Joe is the author of four groundbreaking business books. We're going to focus primarily, Joe, today on your latest, Be the Best at What Matters Most, the only strategy you'll ever need. Joe lives in Nashville, Tennessee with his wife, Annette, and his daughters, Jessica and Kate. I always like to point out the family. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Boy, I'm thrilled you're here. Joe, you know, you wrote this book. I'm going to say the title again, Be the Best at What Matters Most, the only strategy you will ever need. I read it. I loved it. I guess my question is, why did you think this book was even needed?
Marty, I tell you, it was a real clear reaction to what I was seeing out there with writers and speakers and consultants and everybody saying, okay, here's what you need to succeed. And this was over the last few years. So this was kind of during the recession when people were looking for answers on how to build their business.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's telling them, what you got to do is you got to be really different.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to have a wow factor. And you've got to have something to set you apart. And my reaction to that was, wait a minute. If you want something to set you apart, why don't you just be better than everybody else?
Right.
Why don't you compete and win on the fundamentals? Because if you win there, you win, period, game over. And so this book is really kind of a call for people to go back to focusing on, as the title says, those handful of things that really matter most.
Yeah, it's great, and I'm going to use the word simplicity, and you know I mean that in a good way. I just love the simplicity and the power of it. You know, one of the phrases, and you have several good phrases and comments in the book, but I love the phrase that you used in the book, and you said, pick your lanes carefully. And then you talked about a burger joint, kind of, and can you apply this? Let me say that again for our listeners. Pick your lanes carefully. Now, this burger place, tell me about that and maybe put it in context for the audience.
Yeah, I opened the book with the story of a fictional burger restaurant called Bill's Burgers, and Bill wants more customers, so he starts trying everything. He thinks, okay, I got to have a wow factor, and he comes up with different kinds of hamburgers, like the hamburger with the hottest pepper on earth and a vanilla hamburger and a real hamburger made purely out of ham. And then he says, okay, I want something distinctive. I'm going to have a magician going through the restaurant doing card tricks. And when everybody leaves, they're going to get a little candy in the shape of a hamburger and social media and on and on and on and on. And at the end of telling that tale, I say, I wonder if it ever occurred to him what impact it might have to just try and make a better hamburger. Or maybe try and speed up or up the level of the service a little bit. Now, listen, not that there's anything wrong with any of those other ideas, but my point was we tend to try and chase these little magic extras that we think are going to make our business more effective, when we should start by looking at the absolute basics and say, what are the two, three, four things that my customers care about most? Those are the lanes that I want to be sure I'm concentrating on. Now, if I'm as good as I can be at that and I want to put a cherry on top, that's fine. But pick your lanes carefully is another way of saying, don't spread yourself too thin. Stay focused on those key things that your customers really value.
Yeah, I love that analogy. I love the visual of that. It's just really powerful for especially our audiences, for the most part, Joe, entrepreneurs and small business owners. And
Yeah. Pick
your lanes carefully. I just love the visual part of that. And as they sit and think about what they need to do, I think that's a powerful analogy. That's a great job.
You know, Marty, just as powerful as thinking of what they should do is we need to stop every now and then and think about what we need to stop doing.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
What am I doing that is kind of a, you know, ongoing wild goose chase and isn't really a constructive use of my time or my resources? So thinking about what we need to stop doing can be as powerful as what we need to start doing.
Wow, that was worth the price of admission right there. You know, that was great. You know, and again, you used a lot of quotes, your own and others. And one quote you have in the book from Steve Jobs, a famous Apple, is, I love this one, too. Get your thinking clean enough to make things simple. Let me repeat that. From Steve Jobs, you have it in your book. Get your thinking clean enough to make things simple. Expand on that.
You know, Marty, I think that's my favorite quote in the whole book. And I do quote a lot of people way smarter than me. You know, a little more on that quote, Jobs said that simplicity had become his mantra. And he said, it takes a lot of hard work, really hard work, to get your thinking clean enough to make things simple. But then he goes on to say, but it's worth the work, because if you can make things simple, you can move mountains. Marty, I'll stand in front of a business audience and I'll say, raise your hand if this statement relates to you. We're making things way more complicated than we need to. And every hand in the room goes up, including mine. I mean, we overthink things and we make it way more complicated than we need to. The thing that comes from simplicity is if you can make things simple, then you can get focus. And if you can get focus and clarity on what's most important and what matters most and where you really need to improve and focus your efforts, then you can be more effective. And so I think particularly for entrepreneurs, and it's a huge challenge because entrepreneurs, especially starting out and small business owners and managers, they wear 100 different hats. I mean, they've got to do a little bit of everything. But it's real easy to overcomplicate it, and sometimes we need to step back and say, wait a minute, what are the three or four things that I really, really need to be on top of?
If I can
master those three or four things, I'll be fine.
Joe, I was going to ask you, why do you think that happens? And you kind of answered that question, because especially when you're starting out, you know, you have so many. You have a multi-lane, high-speed highway in your brain, and there are so many things going on that, you know. I guess that's why. And it happens to small and big businesses. So Carrie has a question for you, Joe.
Yeah, Joe. I had a thought, and I was thinking about a previous interview, and it seems like if you can really get simplicity down for your business needs, it's going to open up new lanes for you to be faster, better, cheaper, and friendlier, and really impact your customer and clients.
I absolutely, totally agree with that. You know, it's funny, last fall, I was looking at my own business. And I was in a phone conversation with my marketing partner, and I said, we're trying to do too much. I said, we really are. I'm guilty of, you know, it's the cobbler has no shoes. I'm spreading myself too thinly. We need to pare down and focus on these two or three things, and really pour it on in terms of improving there. And I couldn't agree with you more. And what happened was, by paring down our business, I mean, we saw an almost immediate response from the marketplace. We simplified our website. We simplified our offerings and thus became easier to do business with better service. I mean, all manner of good things happened from simplification.
You know what? I think that takes courage, though, Joe. You know, you did that and others because you're rolling along. You have inertia. I think it takes I think it's a courageous step for business owners to back off and look at that. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it is because it's funny. It seems like almost the natural response to how do I get more business is we almost default to saying, okay, what else can we do?
Right.
And we keep piling on more stuff instead of saying, guys and gals, let's focus in, let's pare down, and let's really just crush it on these handful of things that are most important. But I think it does take courage, and I think it takes discipline, which is something that I find myself to be in short supply out sometimes.
I think we share that. You are listening to the Business Builder Show, and our special guest is Joe Calloway. And Joe's book is Be the Best at What Matters Most, the only strategy you will ever need. So, Joe, I love the format of the book. I told you I read it. I loved it. And you know what I think is really, really impactful, and I'd like to hear if others are saying the same thing. At the end of each chapter, you have something that you call questions to consider. And, boy, if a business owner is really taking your work seriously, I think that's great. Questions to consider.
Marty, I have gotten so much feedback about that. I'm telling you, I'm so glad I did that. And really, these are questions meant to, I mean, you can think about them on your own, but they're really designed as discussion questions for you to talk about with your team. And the questions help you think through some of these issues of, okay, what really is most important? Because that's not an easy one to figure out right there. And then, as you say, every single chapter has questions at the end of it to help you see what I want to get to is people. Sometimes you read a book and you think, okay, this is interesting and these are good ideas, but you don't do anything with them.
Right.
And the questions, I think, and from the feedback we're getting, make it much, much easier to actually put the ideas from the book into play and into action. So, yeah, you really hit on what has turned out to be one of the best features of the book. I'm so glad I put those questions in there.
Well, you made me work, Joe, so I'm a little upset about that. You know, questions to consider, you know, I have to, like, write things down and think this through a little bit, you know? I wanted to get through this book, but it's really awesome. It's a great, great format. You know, here, move on to something else. And again, the way you write is just superb. It's easy to read. You talk, you write in stories and it's just great. But, you know, in Chapter 11, you talk about random versus consistent. Random versus consistent. And you tell a story about a restaurant. You remember that? I'm sure you do remember that story. Can you tell us that story?
I absolutely do.
Great.
This was a story that I actually, another business consultant told it. She had been working with a restaurant company, and she said, okay, Here's the way this restaurant treats their customers. And it turned out there was a young woman that was at home sick, and she posted on Facebook, oh, I only wish I were well enough to go to such and such restaurant and get, and she named a particular dish that she loved. Well, somebody that worked at the restaurant read that and said, hey, let's make her this dish and take it to her for free. How cool would that be? And so they do that. And the business consultant says, there, that's the way they treat their customers. And I just went nuts. I said, no, it's not. That's the way you treated one customer on one special occasion on one day. If I want to know how you treat your customers, I'm going to go through your restaurant and say, how's the food? How long did you wait for your order? Was it easy to park? Is your server professional? Is he or she congenial and easy to deal with? How's the price? That's how you treat your customers. Listen, we get so carried away with these warm, fuzzy stories about some one special thing. That's not how you treat your customers. You've got to look at what you do every day with every single one. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the idea of taking the woman the meal, unless by taking somebody out of the restaurant, now you're short-staffed, and everybody in the restaurant now has to wait 6 minutes longer for their meal to come to their table. It's just we get, I'm telling you, Marty, we get carried away with this idea of wow factors instead of thinking, you know, the biggest wow factor is when your customers say, wow, these guys get it right every single time. There's your wow factor right there.
I loved it. Instead of one random act, what are you doing consistently? So, in fact, the customers say, wow, over a period of time, this is just a phenomenal place to eat or to do business.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. And now here's something that you may have gotten some feedback on, too, because if they didn't read the book and you say, how the Internet is killing hype. Tell me about that. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's kind of a counterintuitive statement.
Yeah.
And I said it to get people's attention.
It worked.
Here's what I mean by that. And the example I gave is a true story. I was actually looking for a hotel down on the Gulf Coast. I was going to go work on this book for a couple of days. So I found a hotel website. It looked perfect. It said, you know, warm ocean breezes, lush tropical setting. Then I went to TripAdvisor.com to see what their customers said. And it had something like 2 positive reviews and 560 scathing reviews. And instead of warm tropical breezes, it said things like roaches, mildew on the walls, would never bring my children here again. I mean, it was scathing. And the hotel manager responded to all these, and after every one, he or she said, something along the lines of, we're so sorry, we're trying to improve our service. Well, here's the thing. The website was hype, but today the consumer has the power through the internet to totally bust your hype to pieces. And we all have started to go to sites where the customers get a chance to say what they think.
Mm.
And so now, if your claims don't match reality, you're busted. And of course, that I think that's a good thing. It's a great thing.
Absolutely.
For customers. So it's kind of a shut up thing. You gotta walk the talk these days.
You better really be delivering where, because you are transparent. You're individually and as a company, you're transparent anymore. You can't hype it up. You can't make stuff up. You'll get caught, right, Joe?
That's exactly right. That's the point.
Yeah. Now, someone that I've been reading about, Marty Grunder, and his landscaping business, and again, I've been paying attention over a period of time. You use a company called Grunder Landscaping as an example of leadership. And again, show for entrepreneurs and small business owners who need lessons like this. And tell us about that company and why do you think they're a good example of leadership?
Yeah, and Marty's a pure entrepreneur. Marty. I got two Martys going here. Marty Grunder's a pure entrepreneur.
I'm not bad either. You just don't know about me yet. You know?
Go ahead. I've heard people are talking, and it's all good. But the other Marty, Marty Grunder, he started this business as a kid when he was 14, just mowing yards.
Right.
By the time he was a junior in college, his business was grossing over $300,000 a year. Now he's got 40 employees. Marty's in his early 40s. He's got an incredible upscale landscaping company. And Marty is just kind of, to me, he's the poster boy for effective leadership. And he gets all the basic stuff right. He's got incredible clarity with his company on the vision, the mission, on what it takes to succeed. And here's a real key, Marty. He talks about that stuff all the time.
Right.
It's not, you know, the vision, the mission, the values, they're not just something that he puts on a card and talks about once a month in a meeting. It's every day, all day long. And his employees love it.
Yeah.
He's constantly reinforcing, this is who we are. This is what we're about. And he's tough. He's smart. And he's one of those leaders that's kind of, he's equal parts tough and demanding. And then the other half is incredibly supportive of his employees and motivating. And I just think he's a classic example of an effective leader. You know, Marty's also a bang up motivational speaker,
mm-hmm.
Particularly in the green industry, but even to general audiences. He's quite a guy.
Mm.
He does a great job.
Joe, believe it or not, we're running out of time. We are listening right now to Joe Calloway. His book is Be the Best at What Matters Most, the only strategy you will ever need. Joe, we've got another minute or two. I want you to wrap up and something we may have missed or a point that you want to make sure that we get to the audience. Go ahead. You've got the mic.
I think the point, and I'll go back to what we were kind of the Jobs quote, Marty. We make it too complicated. And if we simplify and get clarity on what is truly most important in our business, it's more effective, it makes us more efficient. There's nothing but positives that come from taking the time to take a step back and say, what really matters most here. That's what I'm going to concentrate on. So I would leave people with just those kind of those three words, simplicity, focus, and clarity. Do that, and you'll be a long way ahead of the game.
Joe, people will want to reach out to you. What's the best way to do that so they can connect with you?
My website is my name, joecalloway.com, and Calloway is C-A-L-L-O-W-A-Y. We got a bunch of videos that they can access for free immediately on there. Just go to the video page and scroll to the bottom. They can order the book from anywhere they want from our page. We got a kind of a fun blog where we stir up some trouble every now and then. So I'd love for people to come there. JoeCalloway.com.
Joe, it's been a real treat. I've had a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. Listen, have a great rest of the week.
Okay, great interview from Joe. I told you, you'd really enjoy that. Wasn't he a great storyteller? Phenomenal. Okay, we're going to be taking a short break. We'll be right back after the short message. You are listening to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Okay, we are back, and I told you you would love the interview by Joe Calloway. Wasn't that great? Now, a reminder, we said at the beginning of the show, in case you are just joining us, you can win a free copy of Joe's book that he will autograph for you. Here's all you need to do. Just go to my email address, which is marty@martywolfbusinesssolutions.com. It's a long one. Wolf is spelled W-O-L-F-F. So marty@martywolfbusinesssolutions.com. And just simply in the subject area, say Joe Calloway, and then tell me what you really liked about that interview. What really resonated with you? And then we'll pick you. We'll see who the winner is. And again, I will, what it's going to be, quite frankly, and I didn't say this at the top of the show, is I'm going to take the fifth email. So the fifth email coming through will be the one that wins the free book. I'll notify you in the next few days whether or not you won. So good luck. Okay, let's keep moving on the show here. We have lots of things we're going to talk about in the balance of the show. And someone described what we talk about, Carrie, in the second half of the show as a fireside chat. I kind of like that thought process. That was kind of neat. We're having a little chat here with Tom and Carrie and Marty, and I like that. You know, that was kind of neat. So, starting our chat in the second half of the show as a continuation, we have been talking about influence, and from a book called Influence, appropriately named, by Dr. Robert Cialdini, and he has the six laws of influence. And what we talked about, and we're going to finish this segment, is how you can influence others and how others can influence you. And Dr. Cialdini has six laws. And last couple of weeks, we talked about the first two. First one was reciprocation. And all reciprocation is that people want to do good things for people who do good things for them. It's the old give and take. And this is in a positive way, not a negative way. People just want to help others who help them. So that's reciprocation, rule number one. Rule number two was commitment and consistency. And the idea there is that people want to live up to their word, to what they say. And even more importantly, they want to live up to something that they sign. Last week, Tom, we talked about people signing the pledge card in church. You sign that pledge card, you're committed. You want to live up to that. People are good. They want to live up to their commitments, and they will consistently live up to that. Point number three, in terms of how you can influence others, and also so that you can be sensitive when others are trying to influence you. So it's kind of a two-way street. Point number three, or law number three, is something called social proof.
That's the one I love.
Yeah, I do too. It's kind of one that, you know, in the world we live in, Carrie, it's so important. And I'll set this up by saying, you know, when you go to an event and there's a bartender there and you walk up to the bar, what's one of the early things that you see, right? Placed on the bar is a little jar, isn't there?
Yeah, tip jar.
A tip jar. And usually what's in there is some dollars or $5. And if the bartender is smart, he put probably a $5 bill in there, I would assume. And that's social proof. He or she is persuading you to contribute to his well-being. And what that is that saying that others are doing it. You know, so, gee, it's okay for you to donate.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah. Well, so, you know. Go ahead,
think
Karen.
About what we've talked about when we have great people on, in the power of LinkedIn. And the recommendations are right. falling right under the heading of social proof.
Social proof. All social proof is... And whether not you saying great things about yourself, it's others saying great things about you and your company. That's social proof. So LinkedIn recommendations carry perfect testimonial letters, referral letters, endorsements. That's social proof. That's one of the ways that you influence others or you can persuade others. Next point is something called liking. People buy, people want relationships with the people that they know, like, and trust. It's simple, but look at it this way also. Attorneys, when attorneys first address the jury, they want to be warm and fuzzy or likable for the most part, unless they want to make some put on some kind of a sideshow. But when attorneys, they want you to like them. They it builds relationships. You know, so I mean, the essence of liking is just that. And network marketing and all those other kinds of things is, you know, when you want to influence others, or let's turn it around because it's an important part. When people want to influence you, you want to be influenced by people you know, like, and trust. You'll do things for people you know, like, and trust. So liking is an important part of influence.
And that brings you right back to Law 1.
Law 1, which is reciprocation.
If you're operating in a mutually likable scenario, I like you, you like me, what can I do for you? No, what can I do for you?
Right.
You know, the reciprocation factor.
And, again, a caveat that Tom brought up last week, you know, in the show was don't do things expecting something. That's not what this is all about.
It's not a quid pro quo.
No, that's not what this is about. There's all kinds of stories in Dr. Cialdini's book. Again, the title of the book is Influence. And there's all kinds of stories that say people pay back sometimes 10, 20, 30 years passes. And I told that story about the families in Phoenix and in Pennsylvania, Tom. You remember that story where people responded like after years and years and years mm-hmm. to helping each other out because they were sending each other Christmas cards. Do you remember that story?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the son needed a place to crash before he went into college.
You were paying attention.
Yes, I was.
See, you're just not a pretty face here. You're actually doing some
pretty
good
face.
Work.
That's why I'm on the radio, Marty.
That's correct. So, neat. Next point in terms of laws of influence or persuasion is authority. It's understandable that if you're the CEO or the president or the boss, that commands some authority. Other things that command authority is clothing. Your car may say something about you. It may say something about authority. And you know what? I have kind of a plus and an easy thing for authority. Height has something to do with that. Now, let's see here.
Hair.
Let's look around the room.
Hair might have something to do with it.
But
color or length.
We can't go there. We can't go there. But if you are blessed to be 6'2" or above, there's a little bit of a plus. There's an added value there that's just God-given.
But to a point.
To a point, yes. And that's
we had a rather large salesperson work for us years ago. And he was too intimidating.
Could be.
He was a great college basketball player, but he was just too tall. He intimidated too many buyers.
Right. So authority, your title, that has something to do with you influencing people and them influencing you. A title, authority, you know, or a feeling of authority. Next point and the last one is scarcity. And this is probably the one that you hear about most. You know, when you had that special toy that your child wanted, Tom and Carrie, right? When Carrie, when your kids were young and that was a special toy, and the store said, there's only 5 left. What did you do? You scrambled, right? You waited for 24 hours to get there. You did all these crazy things. The idea of scarcity is a very strong
motivator,
persuader, influencer. The idea of there's short supply, there's only a few left, and that kind of concept. So that's point number 6, but I want to tell you a story about scarcity that Dr. Cialdini in his book talked about. And it relates everything, but it's a really cool story. Most or all of us have seen advertorials, you know, on TV late at night. Okay, you're sitting there, and at some point during the commercial, the announcer will say, in most of them, they'll say, "Operators are standing by." Now, when I say that, gentlemen, operators are standing by, what's the visual that you get?
This little woman sitting there staring at one of the old black rotary phones.
Waiting and
for
pleading. Please call me. I'm lonely, right?
Exactly.
So that's kind of the visual. But do most of those things say that? Operators are standing by. Now, Dr. Cialdini did some consulting work for a company doing this stuff. And what he suggested they say, if the line is busy, please call again. Now, what changed in your mind, gentlemen?
That call to action.
Yeah, they're actually getting calls now.
It's ringing off the hook, man.
I got to get in line.
I got to get on this. I got to make it happen. That's scarcity. I got to call. I don't want to be left out. There's a timer on the TV, right? 60 seconds, 45 seconds. I got to get in on this. That was profound. I'm surprised more people on advertorials don't take that. Instead of operators are standing by, if the lines are busy, please call again. I just love that. Isn't that really awesome?
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Robert Cialdini, his book is Influence. You got to get it if you are in business, if you want your ideas to resonate with others. It's a great, great, it's really almost everything you hear about today in terms of influence and persuasion is based on Dr. Robert Cialdini. So in between our little segments, Carrie, I do want to tell everybody, because this is in terms of scarcity, okay? I'm going to use my own information here. Did I already mention the Express Pros having the event? Did I say that when we came back from the break?
Well, we've been mentioning it. No, yeah. We haven't mentioned it today, but over the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about it.
Okay.
Because
it is
exciting.
See, now, isn't this a perfect setup? Okay.
Nice segue.
It's a perfect segue. Now, this was an accident. I had everything out of order, but still, we're going to take some credit for this.
James Brown would say, take it to the bridge.
Our friends at Express Employment Professionals, they are having an event on July 10th, which is coming up soon, very soon, and it's going to be at the Radisson Lackawanna Station in Scranton. Now, I know we have listeners all over. Now, if you're in Philadelphia or New York, you can drive to this. It's July 10th, and who is appearing at this event is a gentleman by the name of Jack Smalley, and he's going to talk about the top five threats facing businesses today. Now, here's where the scarcity rule comes in. Scarcity rule comes in is that I know I've talked to Amy Clegg, who is the local Express Employment Professionals owner, and she said they've just about sold out. So if you want to get in on this action, it's July 10th. Call Amy right now. You only have a short period of time. You can reach Amy at 570-963-1000. That's 570-963-1000. That's how you can get a hold of Amy if you'd like to attend this event on July 10th.
And if the phones are busy, keep dialing.
And if the phones are busy, please call again. You don't want to be left out. So take advantage of that. Okay. We're going to keep moving. Keep going back to Joe Calloway. And I'm going to say it again. Wasn't that fun? Isn't he a great storyteller? The book. What's the title of the book, Carrie? Do you have the book in front of you? What's the title?
Be the best at what matters most. The only strategy you will ever need.
By Joe Calloway, Calloway.
And I liked what tied in, so we're not going too crazy on it, but the simplicity factor that Dan Pink talked about in To Sell Is Human, and how if you get it down to one word or one vision, you're going to knock it home, man.
Which is hard, and we talked about that in the interview, which is hard. And so, again, send me an email. You want to win the free book, Marty, at MartyWolfBusinessSolutions.com. Send me an email. The fifth email I got will be the winner, and I'll let you know. Okay, Joe wrote a blog about a couple weeks ago, and the title of this blog was, You Can't Lose This Game, and You Can't Win It. Let me say that again so you get the flavor for that. Title of the article is, You Can't Lose This Game, and You Can't Win It. He goes on to say, he's talking about a World Series, Little League World Series, that was a couple years ago, a team from Tennessee and a team from California. He's describing that it was the bottom of the ninth inning, and the team from Tennessee led by 4 runs. Now, a little more drama. There were 2 outs and 2 men on base for the California team as the batter approached the plate. We got this right? We got this figured out, guys? I got your attention.
Two outs, 2 men on base. Man
Very
at the plate.
High drama. You could see. Now, again, this is televised worldwide. This is the Little League World Series. This is being televised all over the world. You could tell this young man had the weight of the world on his shoulders. So what happened next, Joe says, what Joe feels was truly inspired leadership and coaching. So the coach got a hold of the young man, and I'm going to read exactly what the coach said to the young man so I don't lose anything in translation. Quote, saying to the young man, "You can't lose this game, and you can't win it. We're down 4 runs, and that's because of everything that happened before now. So you can't lose the game. We've got 2 men on base, and even if you hit a home run, we're still 1 run short. You can't win it for us. You just need to do what you're good at and have fun." The coach patted the young man on the back and let him go to the plate. What do you think he did? He hit a home run. Interesting. A leadership lesson. There's a couple other ones before we kind of wrap this little story up again. This is from our guest, Joe Calloway, his blog. He tells about his daughter's soccer coach. His soccer coach says to the team, quote, "I don't mind if you mess up. We can fix that. But I really mind if you don't try." Soccer coach to his team. Another little example Joe tells us about. Before a week of extremely important tests, Joe's daughter's teacher, the teacher says to the class, "You guys have worked hard and you're ready for these tests. Don't freak out over it. You'll do fine. Just relax." Now, 3 examples of leadership in Joe's mind. Here's what he goes on to say. Great leaders prepare people to succeed. They don't pressure them to succeed. There's a difference. Weak leaders scream, strong leaders teach. Can I repeat that? Great leaders prepare people to succeed. They don't pressure them to succeed. A weak, ineffective leader adds more pressure, creates stress needlessly, and gets in the way of success. I love these stories from Joe, and he goes on to talks about two of coaches, one of them my favorite. One of them is John Wooden, and I think most of us know John Wooden built character as well as building great basketball teams. And the other basketball coach was a gentleman by the name of Bob Knight. Does anyone know what Bobby Knight is most famous for other than winning some championships?
Choking players, throwing chairs,
exactly.
Acting rather erratic and loud.
So we have John Wooden at one side and we have Bobby Knight on the other side. So where would you rather have your child go? And I think most people would say John Wooden because he was building character as well as winning basketball teams. So Joe wraps up this segment by saying whether in sports, business, or any other endeavor, a weak leader has players who doubt themselves and are afraid. A strong leader has players who believe in themselves and each other and are confident that they can and will win the game. That's the game of business. That's the game of life. You get it. I mean, isn't that a great story in terms of leadership? A whole bunch of blogs. You should follow Joe Calloway's blogs and so you can learn more from him.
Well, those two key words, preparing them is allowing them to be successful. They're really doing the success.
Good
by
point.
Pressuring them, it's almost as the manager says, I made you do it. We won. I made you. Where... the prepared ones are, you guys won that game. You did great.
Not to mention when you're pressuring somebody to win, the fear of failure is just, you can't get
paralyzing.
It out of your head.
Paralyzing.
That's a great word, Kerry. Yeah.
It can be overwhelming. Now, some stress is good. You know, some intensity is good, but not where it becomes so overwhelming. That young man coming to the plate knew the situation that he was in.
Yeah, I would have peed a little. Definitely would have.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
but the clarity the coach made. I can't win it. I can't lose it.
Just do your best. But wasn't that took off the pressure? He understood the situation, but the way the coach explained it, hey, no matter what you do, you know, you're gonna. It's not your fault if we lose this game, and it's not going to be your fault directly if we win this game. Even if you hit a home run, you're not going to win it for us. You're certainly going to contribute.
Yeah.
So get up there and do the best you can.
Do your part.
He hit a home run. They ended up winning, by the way, the whole game. So,
right.
You know, that is a great lesson for entrepreneurs and managers and those kinds of folks. That is such a solid lesson. You can't lose this game and you can't win it. So many things came before you and so many things are going to come ahead. So great lessons. So let's move on to another leadership lessons, and that was a leadership lesson. We're going to talk about something from our good friend of the show and a personal friend of ours, Kerry, Mr. Mark Sanborn. And Mark recently wrote an article in Entrepreneur Magazine that everybody knows. We look to Entrepreneur Magazine and Success Magazine and Inc. Magazine for a lot of our information. We follow thought leaders, and Mark certainly is a thought leader. And his article is entitled, Five Ways to Train Yourself to Be a Great Leader from Entrepreneur Magazine. So here's what Mark talks about. He starts it off by saying, there aren't many natural-born leaders. Most leaders take responsibility for training themselves to be effective. Now, there's been books and discussions, are leaders born or are they made? And there's all kinds of discussions over the ages of, you know, are you born this way or do you learn to be a leader? Do you guys have a vote one way or another? Do you think leaders are born or are they made?
I think both.
You think both?
I do think both.
There's an insightful comment.
I think there's innate qualities that can be nurtured quicker or faster or stronger when they're put in the right situation. But I do think there's some that come from the worst background, yet they still rise above it, that somehow they make it happen.
That's a great insight. You know, there are people who have all kinds of struggles, were born into terrible situations, and certainly have trained themselves and have become great leaders. And there's all kinds of information out there. Kerry's not in our notes, but I do want to mention someone because this is who I thought of when you were talking about that. Again, learning that I got from our friend Anthony Iannarino.
Okay.
And Anthony had a gentleman on his show by the name of Weldon Long, W-E-L-D-O-N. His last name is Long, L-O-N-G. Weldon was in prison for many, many years, was a hardened criminal. And he got Stephen Covey's book. And while in prison, taught himself success principles that we talk about in this show and that we read and stuff like that. Weldon Long went on to become very successful and is now a best-selling author and hopefully going to be on the show soon.
Yeah.
I'm working on that. But talk about exactly right, Kerry, the point that you made, that you know, you can come from difficult situation as he did, and he became a great leader.
Okay. Or conversely, come from a silver spoon in your mouth and not develop.
That's why ongoing learning, adult learning, is so important.
And that's one of the things you hit coming up. Sorry.
Okay. Point number one in terms of the article is keep promises, period. Keep all your promises. And you know, the most important promise that you keep is the one you make to yourself. That's the one that matters the most. Keep promises, period. Number two, dress to influence. Not just dress for success, dress to influence. Dress in the way that if people saw you, would they think of you as a leader? Are you saying when you dress what you aspire to be? And you know what? Dress to influence goes back to some rules or laws of influence, and that would be under the authority. If you're dressing appropriately, you're dressing to influence. Point number three, treat your team as you expect them to treat customers. If you treat your associates and your employees good, what are they going to do for your company? They're going to love working for you. And not only that, what are they going to do? They're going to tell others.
And in the book we talked about with Joe Calloway, there's a great example of that in there.
Yep. And that's social proof.
Right.
That is an example of social proof, being able to influence others. Point number four, show your commitment to personal growth. Talks about a company that pays people to read books. Wow. Show your commitment to personal growth if you're a business owner. The way you improve your company is to improve yourself and your team. Point number five, ask rather than wait for feedback. Ask for feedback. A question that Mark suggested we ask, in your opinion, quote, in your opinion, what might I do to become a better or a more effective leader? And you can ask yourself this of your spouse, your friend, your teammate, or your vendor. What can I do to become better? This was Five Ways to Train Yourself to Be a Great Leader by Mark Sanborn. And I think we're ready to go to our closing commentary. Are we not, Tom? Let's go to Dr. Tony Massari.
I am Tony Massari with a thought about America at its best. Joe Calloway has a way with words. His message is well-crafted and delivered in a compelling way. He has another gift. He knows how to ask the right questions. These are a few of his answers to the most important question: what is essential to success in business? It's not about wow. It's about how. You don't need gimmicks. You need customer focus. You must find out what matters most to the customer and satisfy those needs. You must be so good at the basics that you are extraordinary. More isn't better. Better is better. You must be better tomorrow than you were today. Don't do too much. Simplify. And know that it takes a lot of hard work to make things simple. Ask good questions, beginning with this question: what should I stop doing? Mindset is important. Oftentimes, just because you think you can, you can. Don't learn the tricks of the trade. Learn the trade, and do it better than anyone else. Joe Calloway's message is deeply rooted in clarity, consistency, customer service, focus, innovation, and quality. He doesn't believe in silver bullets or shortcuts. He believes in doing your best to be the best. Listening to Joe Calloway summarize his book, Be the Best at What Matters Most, I thought of the words of Albert Einstein. I'm not a genius. I'm just curious. I ask many questions, and when the answer is simple, then God is answering. For me, this is a classic example of the face of America on its best day. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its best.
Thank you again for being part of the Business Builder Show with your business coach, Marty Wolf. Thank you, Joe Calloway, for being our special guest. And always, Dr. Tony Massari, thank you for another excellent commentary. Carrie, Tom, thanks for your help and support today, for being here with me.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you for having me.
Next Saturday, our special guest is Sharon Lecter. And Sharon is the co-author of the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series of books. And Sharon annotated a book from Napoleon Hill that is 70 years old. Called Outwitting the Devil. You're going to love this. We're also going to have Megan Alpert in the studio with us, and she's the new president of the local NABO, which is the National Association of Women Business Owners, in the studio with us.
Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.